afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, July 15th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Melody, happy tax day.
Oh, it is.
And more importantly, happy hump day.
Yes, I love those extensions, and yes, I love hump day. Although the weeks just go by so fast anymore, it's almost like they're all hump days anymore. You know, it just goes by so fast. The week does. So, I don't know if that's possible, but it just seems that way. Anyway, welcome to the program. We have Wendy Wilson joining us here in... Yeah, just as soon as I finish the market report, Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. So let me get to the market report with gold today. New York spot price after market, we have gold up $1.80, $1,812. Silver's up another 21 cents, $19.57, almost hitting 20. Platinum up $6 at $838. Palladium was up $16 at $2,050. The USDX today was down 0.19, still at 96.05. It's like it's taken forever for it to get out of that 96 level, and maybe tomorrow. Right now, 96.05. Crude oil was up 77 cents at 41.07. And the paper markets today were once again happy on the news that a virus is shortly around the corner. It doesn't really even matter what happens to anything else or what has already happened. That virus, that vaccine is soon, did I say virus? That vaccine is soon to be had. You have the Dow up 227 points at 26,870. The NASDAQ was up 61 points at 10,550. The S&P was up 29 points at 3,200. And 26. 10-year yield, 0.63. Naturally, all the markets around the world were positive also. London and Germany were leading the way at 1.8%. And that, for now, is the market report for July 15th, 2020. Wendy Wilson, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hi there.
Hello.
I thought we'd talk about how powerful your immune system is today, and we're going to learn about this immune system by medical science itself. They're going to help us understand this, because okay. I've been writing articles and talking about this for years. You know, most people are taught to doubt their own immune system and trust medical science instead. You know, older people or elderly, they're taught that. You know, everything's wearing out and your immune system is weak. Children are taught, hey, your immune system's weak. Young adults, teenagers, they're taught their immune system's weak. Medical science says the solution is a vaccine and lots of it. So more people, though, are waking up that medical science has an agenda. And it is to put a lot of people on medicines for as long as possible. And the first step in doing that is with a vaccine. So the vaccines do cause metabolic disruption. They do change DNA. And various diseases do follow them. So I've come across this new research from Scripps Research Institute, and it's with regards to the metabolic advantages of designing the COVID-19 vaccine like your immune system. So we're going to check it out. So, well, they looking for a key. That's what they were doing. The scientists at Scripps were looking for the immune system key that unlocks the immune system's defense against COVID-19, and they claim to have found it. The human immune system is very complex, and it has many different types of antibodies to protect us. So the human immune system is so sophisticated, it can outmaneuver mutating viruses. Now, scientific medicine can't produce any kind of therapy or a vaccine that can do what the immune system is doing. So they have turned to the immune system to show them some clues. So in this study, in this particular study, the scientists looked at a molecule that features the immune system that manufactures a defense of the COVID-19 virus. So let me say that again. Your immune system manufactures a defense to the COVID-19 virus. You already have your defense. Okay, so they think that they have identified the antibody that neutralizes the SARS-CoV-2 19 virus. So the issue that they face was, you know, the human immune system didn't just make one or two of these antibodies, but it made many of them. So they had to try to identify the one that they felt was the key to destroying the virus. So they examined blood from 300 patients that were either recovering or had immunity to the virus, and the patients were from all walks of life, young, middle-aged, and those convalescing in nursing homes. And what they noticed is that there appeared to be a subset of antibodies that were so powerful at neutralizing this virus that they were coded antibodies within an immune system gene that they have labeled IGHV353. So the research did get published in the Journal of Science July 2020. And how do they find this gene, this antibody? Well, according to the research, the immune system antibodies were found using a type of X-ray machine called a crystallography. Now, a crystallography is a device that they use in experimental research to study the properties of crystals and atoms. So the X-ray device revealed the molecule structure with a beam of incandescent X-ray in different directions. And the study said it revealed a coded antibody on the virus that they also send all this research over to drug manufacturers that are making the COVID vaccine. So they sent their research. But here, real quick, are my thoughts on this. If our immune system's making antibodies to successfully neutralize the virus, why do we need a vaccine? And two, if science thinks it knows which gene group of antibodies the immune system is using to defend us from this virus, will the vaccine target those genes making those antibodies? I don't know, but it is obvious that the immune system in a majority of people is able to keep them safe from this virus. The question science should be asking is why a minority are affected and what is making them vulnerable. But science has shown they're really not interested in that cause. They're interested in producing a generic vaccine for everyone, even if they don't need it. So here's what some doctors are saying in the United States and across the other countries. Physicians have been observing this virus and reporting that most vulnerable people that are getting sick with the virus have underlying health problems, which also involve inflammation. They also have a mineral depletion of zinc. They also noted that many of them that get sick are on heart prescription drugs, which are known to flush minerals out of your system and causes metabolic weakness. So, and they also noticed in the SQIDS research that your immune system is always on patrol. It's pointing out that your gene antibodies that they have identified as IGHV353, which neutralizes the virus, with post-exposure to, let's say, the virus, your immune system continues to patrol the blood system, but in smaller numbers of that antibody. So it's kind of a light patrol. And there is really no cytokine storm because the immune system is operating appropriately. So if you hear that term cytokine storm, it's medicine's description of your immune system kind of overreacting and causing organ failure. Okay, so there isn't any of that. Of course, you know, the scientists think that they can make a vaccine that will boost the immune system antibodies as protection against this virus, but it's not the immune system that needs artificial boosting. And if you do that, it could incite the risk of autoimmune dysfunction, and then you get your cytokine storm. So does anybody know what an antibody is other than, you know, defends you? Do you know what it's made of?
Dave?
White blood cells? Is that where they...
Yep, you're correct. Antibodies typically are made of white blood cells. Those are the killer T cells. But antibodies are also proteins. And a lot of your antibody proteins are called B cells. And when you have adequate zinc in your immune system to operate with, it produces a protein shield on your cells so the COVID virus can't penetrate and infect your cell. If you have little to no zinc, it means you're going to get sick with the virus. And that was a research produced by the United States Library of Medicine, Institute of Health, their research of 2010, but it didn't get published until 2019. So each B cell is made specifically to address the infection, or it can be an adapted clone antibody from a previous infection. So the immune system encodes antibodies, remembers them, and what they what they were made of and what they attacked in the past, and then they can pull from that storehouse of antibodies and adapt them. The fact that many of our subjects' blood that they tested had the same antibody is showing us that it's a very common virus, and most people have encountered it. And that's what Johann Gazeek, the infectious virologist, said. Very common virus. So the scientists have also noticed that this gene antibody, IGHV353, it was found in the blood, and it was also, they said it had an unusual variant to it. They called it a loop, and a loop is usually found on adaptogens, antibodies, the antibodies that were adapted. So again, this is showing an adaptogen antibody, and that also supports what virologist Johann Gazeek stated, that the virus is going to mutate before the vaccine is made, and antibodies that are adapted are usually very potent, as scientists have noted in this research as well. Scientists admit they cannot duplicate a B-cell adaptogen cell in protection to put in a vaccine. Let me read you this quote by Dr. Dennis Burton, professor, Department of Immunology and Microbiology at Squibbs Research. He says, normally, when B-cells are activated and encounter a virus, the B-cell will start a profilerate action and also mutate some parts of the antibody gene in order to generate a new B-cell with antibodies to fit the viral target even better. So the more mutations needed for the process to generate the virus neutralizing antibody action, the harder it's going to be to introduce that same process with a vaccine. And Ian Wilson, PhD professor of structural biology at Squibbs, says, coronavirus have been around for hundreds of years, and one can imagine that our immune system has evolved in such a magnificent way that we can carry antibodies like these that can make a powerful response right off the bat. No pun intended, by the way. And then Ian Wilson goes on to say, many of the antibodies that neutralized our SARS-CoV-19 virus appeared to do so by blocking the virus receptor connection to not invade the cell. So that's that zinc protein antibody that's working for you. Also, this is from Healthline. They say every virus mutates as part of their virus life cycle. Viruses such as influenza, measles, and COVID are RNA viruses and are prone to changes and mutations, which are compared to DNA viruses like herpes or smallpox. And then also, this is from Mark Schliss, MD, infectious disease specialist, Minnesota, University of Minnesota. He says, ill-informed decisions regarding the SARS-CoV virus is exactly what we're seeing. In some cases, mutations can create a weaker version of the virus, and we expect RNA viruses like COVID to change frequently, and it is just their nature. So usually when they change, they don't become more virulent. It's rare to see that. So, and let's just touch on these numbers real quick, because if the public can believe these infectious numbers on the COVID-19, we are being told 12 million have been infected and 500,000 died globally. That's worldwide. So if you do the math, it suggests a flu bug, 0.000041. So a flu bug that is being probably leveraged politically and medically for some agenda. And what better way, really, to subject and control people than with fear for their health, right? Seriously.
Absolutely.
So knowing what you know, let me just ask you, both you, Melanie and Dave, knowing what you know now, we just heard it from science, knowing what you know now about your immune system, it has natural protection, it's a common flu bug, and you also know why a minority of people are getting sick with it, would you volunteer to get the COVID-19 vaccine?
Of course not.
I would not. Not at this point, not without knowing more information.
Right. Basically, vaccines take on average 5 years to go through proper development and testing. This is not going to get that. this vaccine.
Yeah, yeah. Out. I mean, I can't even believe how they're pushing it through.
Mm-hmm. Well, personally,
I wouldn't give it to my dog Ruby.
If you wouldn't give it to your dog,
nope. Yeah.
Well, I prefer to support my immune system with vitamins, minerals, proteins, amino acids, you know, the whole foods, your spices, your medicinal herbs. So you can actually accomplish what doctors can't, and that is support your immune system function so it can store and adapt antibodies and protect you from even these man-made or natural plagues that we see. So the power to do that really comes from God. It's His immune system. It's His design. He designs the immune system and the nutrients that you need to support it. So, and let me read this. This is from Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know? So, drugs and vaccines can't do what God can do. Mm-mm. So, and also Psalms 91 is a very nice, if you believe in the power of prayer, God says that the prayer has power. If you think God's not a liar, Psalms 91 is a supernatural prayer of protection from plagues. Pray it daily. Only takes you a few minutes. Also, if you need some tools, Apothecary Herbs has a lot of immune system support out there for you. We have a lot of metabolic strengtheners, cleanses, and immune support herbs. Astragalus root, as I mentioned, will be the herb with the highest amount of zinc. And the perfect beauty of whole food nutrition is, a lot of people say, well, what if I get too much zinc? It's hard to get too much zinc if you have it in a whole food form because your body taps what it needs and voids out what it doesn't. You get into trouble with prescription drugs or isolated nutrients that don't have buffer alkaloids for your body to diffuse and use only what it needs. So astragalus root, remember that, high zinc.
Yeah. Astragalus root.
Yeah.
Is that like a hard substance or is that like a powdered?
Well, astragalus root, astragalus root is a root. You can get it in powdered form. I like tinctures because they're concentrates and you just need a few drops and they're working in 60 seconds. So I think compared to pills or capsules, go with a liquid. Okay. So we have that at Apothecary Herbs. We have pandemic kits. We even have a solution to reverse a vaccine that you don't want. So you can give us a call toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And, of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Wendy. You had that timed out perfectly.
Awesome.
It was a great report, and I appreciate that. There's so much there that we all need to know. So, again, great report. And, listeners, we're heading into a break right now. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. We know what to say here on the program. 800-375-4188 is the phone number to Discount Gold and Silver Trading. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you visit our website and sign up for the newsletter. You can listen to these programs archived. And I believe, Dave, that we're going to be doing a little bit of a stronger push for YouTube, too.
We will be. We will be streaming on YouTube. We'll provide that location to folks when the time comes. We're building that site as we speak. It's one of the last parts of the new website development. So some pretty exciting stuff that's going to make it easier for more listeners, easy for long-time listeners to hear our insights on the economic and geopolitical events of the day.
There you go. All right. Now, that is kind of exciting. Okay. Very good. Let's go ahead and, we all know the threat to these small businesses that they're having with this pandemic. And it really has changed the game. Pushing forward years, long shifts in workplaces, you have technology, even buy-in habits. And you have these, it's forcing small business to fight just to survive. And these changes are providing an almost insurmountable advantage to bigger companies. They're positioned to come out of this recession if we ever... It's going to be a long time before we get out of this recession. And we will be looking at a whole different world at that point in time. But it does give these bigger companies their position better to get out of this recession and take a greater market share than ever. There's no doubt that the longer this pandemic pulverizes this economy, the main victims are going to be the small and mid-sized companies. We were talking during the break. In Ocean City, more businesses are being closed down because of the employees contracting the virus. Pennsylvania has gone down to restricting restaurants down to, probably it was 50%. Now it's 25%. These small businesses can't survive. Now there's even a problem with coinage. A lot of these little shops, they survive by cash, and now they can't give coins because there's no coins to be had. And I've been hearing reports of that all across this country. So it's just not in any one isolated area. It's happening all across this country. So the Economic Outlook Group, Bernard Baumol, he's the chief economist, said one part of the massive changes taking place is how large companies with resources, they're going to take advantage of the troubles of what the small companies have. Big companies have benefited far more from Congress and the Fed's coronavirus relief efforts, and they're expected to buy out or simply wait out the smaller competitors. Heck, yesterday we even talked about money going to Chinese companies associated with the Chinese military. It's amazing, Dave. We have corporations like Apple, ExxonMobil, United Airlines. They've all taken advantage of the Fed's injection of $3 trillion in new liquidity. I don't believe in taking money from the big companies. I don't believe in that. But there's something when you get money from the Fed and everything else that's wrong. Just like I think it was, I mentioned it on this morning's program with Beth. You have, what company is Musk's? Tesla. They're getting this huge tax stimulus. I think it's the state of Texas. He just became the world's fifth richest man. And he has to get tax stimulus from the taxpayers of that county that he'll be going to, or state. The taxpayers have to pay for their jobs? Because that's what it is. Oh, and it'll talk about all the hundreds of jobs that'll be created. It just irritates me. It just irritates me. But anyway, back to what?
No. That's
what were you going to say?
That's important stuff. No, I'm just going to say on the other end of the continuum, there's, you know, you got the loan lifeline for small businesses, the payroll protection program. You know, and most folks who followed that closely this spring and summer have found it to be inefficient, ineffective, and just not enough. I mean, the problem is it's largely excluded the businesses who are most in need of assistance. The smallest one, and there are thousands of them. In particular, businesses with...
It's all businesses. It doesn't... Go ahead.
A recent survey by the National Federation of Independent Business found that nearly a quarter of PPP recipients anticipate having to lay off at least one employee, or they have already. In a separate survey, 23% of small businesses told NFIB they'd be able to operate under current conditions for no more than 6 months. Another 21% said no more than a year. So that's almost one half within a year who said they'll be broke. Holly Wade, who is NFIB's Director of Research and Policy Analysis, says it's a bleak picture. It's terrible. And folks like her should know. They hear every day, perhaps every hour of every day, from their stakeholders. Keith Parker, who's with UBS Research, he says expectations at small businesses have essentially collapsed. Conversely, more than 60% of large firms, those with sales over $2 billion, expect sales growth to accelerate. Roughly half expect a significant pickup. In short, Melody, it's going to be very, very hard for small companies to survive this crisis, because they just don't have the balance sheets, the financial wherewithal, the capital to hold on for a long period of time. That's almost certainly going to be necessary to ride this long recession out.
And, I mean, this should be a lesson to small businesses out there. It's called savings.
When the times are good, prepare for the bad.
Yes, absolutely. So you can weather these storms. Whether there is a virus or a slowdown or recession, depression, whatever it might be. Because, yeah, it's just kind of it's a no-brainer. I mean, your larger companies, they're going to be able to get in there and get all the loans, get all the funds, get all the things available to them that is provided by the government. I don't think the government should provide any of them. Let it all be on an equal playing field. But still, your bigger ones do have money saved, you know, because they use borrowed money. And it's a tough industry. But yes, save, save, save. That's part of being a business owner. But your main streets, your towns, your little mom and pop shops. I mean, this will be the last straw that they can hold on to. You're going to see these little towns dry up. I mean, Berlin is a beautiful little town. All little shops. You know, artsy, type thing. In fact, they even had a movie filmed there, a very popular film. And a lot of those shops aren't going to make it. And the programs, the payment protection program, you know, it just wasn't enough to be used as a safety net for the U.S. middle and upper middle wage jobs. It fell short. A Reuters analyst of data on nearly 4.9 million Paycheck Protection Program, PPP loans released last week showed the program, because subject of controversy, because a number of larger, well-connected borrowers tapped it even though it was designed to aid vulnerable small business. We've been talking about this the whole time, especially when they released the list that showed all these businesses owned by politicians, billionaires. Let them use their own money. It just irritates me. Separating U.S. industries into groups of around 60 each, ranked by average annual pay, the analyst showed that employers in the middle of the wage scale received an outside share of PPP loans, both in dollar terms and the number of loans disbursed. Now, the middle group includes a diverse set of industries such as auto dealers, building electrical and heating installers, and freight trucking companies. Now, together, that group represents around 16.5% of the U.S. workforce and a similar share of establishments. Now, the group received roughly 25% of the more than $520 billion in the PPP loans. And the next highest paid group, with average annual salaries near $74,000, including doctor's offices, equipment wholesalers, accountants, and included under 13% of the 101 million workers that was covered by the analysis, but received more than 18% of the PPP loans, Dave.
Yeah, well, breaking down how many jobs were saved in each category is more difficult. For example, workers in the lowest wage category make on average just under $25,000 a year, so any given amount of funding would support more of their salaries. Companies nationwide reported the money preserved 51 million jobs overall, though a spot check did turn up numerous red flags, including large numbers of jobs recorded as saved with very small loans, just not making intuitive sense. PPP loans are meant for most as a way with businesses with 500 or less employees to cover payroll, and as we've reported, are forgivable, in effect turning them into grants as long as at least 60% of the money was used to pay employees, and the rest used to pay a very limited amount of other expenses like rent and utilities. Still, the program appears right now to have given proportionately less support to the lowest wage industries, a group that includes restaurants, golf clubs, and ski resorts, other leisure activities that were hard hit by the recession. Those industries represent about 38% of employees, yet received less than a fourth of the PPP funds. So, interesting analysis, sort of a status report. Don't know what those tens of thousands of companies who are wondering what happened to my loan, Melody.
Loan/grant.
Yes. As they see all these big boys reaping the windfalls.
Yeah, and I would also think that the smaller businesses, because they had to rehire their employees back by a certain time for it to turn into a grant, well, many of
That's
them
right.
went out of business. So that means it didn't turn into a grant. It's a loan that they have to pay back.
They're probably in bankruptcy.
Yeah, where they couldn't hire as many as who they initially had. So, you know, so again, that probably helped the bigger ones, but some of the smaller ones, once they got their money, I don't know if they used it to pay their employees or whatever, but I'm sure there's a lot that didn't turn into a grant. Mortgage apps. Really, Dave? I don't want to talk about mortgage apps. Pull out the important information.
Well, mortgage app volume up 5.1% last week. Average mortgage rate, 30-year, decreased 7 basis points to 3.19 from a week earlier. Applications to refinance jumped 12% and are 107% higher than a week ago. Having said that, that's the crux of that week's report from the Mortgage Bankers Association, Melody.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We don't know yet if kids are going to be going back to school, if children will be in the classroom, or if they'll still be learning at home. But this is kind of interesting, where spending, they're predicting could hit a record this year, back-to-school spending. But it's not going to be for clothes and notebooks and things like that. It's going to be for expensive technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Parents of kids in elementary through high school plan to spend an average of almost $800 per family, topping a previous record of $700. Now, this is from the National Retail Federation in its annual survey. Overall, back-to-school spending is expected to hit $34 billion, up 30% from 2019, and breaking a prior record of $30 billion in 2012. It's kind of interesting, in 2012, as we came out of the recession, that you saw that big gain in spending. Spending on college students, meantime, is expected to be $1,059 per family, and that would top last year's record of $977. Total back to college spending at forecast by NRF to amount to $67.7 billion, and that would break the 2018 record.
Yeah, 55% of the consumers that were polled said they expect to take at least some classes at home this fall. And of those expecting to be home, almost three-quarters plan to buy electronics like laptops and home furnishings like desks, items which are considered non-traditional school supplies. Overall, just about two-thirds, 63% of K-12 families plan to buy computers and other electronics this year, up pretty substantially from 54% a year ago.
We're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. Dave, I think you wanted to head us into about banks. We were talking during the break that banks made $18 billion, that's with the B, dollars, $18 billion in fees for processing these PPP loans.
Now, that's just absolutely disgusting.
It really is.
Your tax dollars hard at work, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, that's exactly what that is our tax dollars.
For making sure that their friends and biggest clients got to the federal money. Again, your tax dollars, yep, providing those loans or grants, however they end up being. But if there's any consolation, it looks as though banks face some significant restrictions now with President Trump's landmark executive order yesterday to strip Hong Kong of certain privileges. Certainly going to add some uncertainty for banks in the financial hub, as well as in this country. Now, Hong Kong recently found itself the focus of rising tensions between the two largest world economies as China tries to impose tighter control over its laws and America seeks to push back against Beijing's rising influence. Now, while banks will get some time to adjust to these new rules, some of Wall Street's biggest lenders risk facing a slew of sanctions or loss of access to the Chinese market. In a new segment called Let's Ask Melody, I'll pose a number of questions to our guru about this and other compelling current news events. Today, Melody, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, and HSBC, and their peers all face a new threat to their massive expansion plans in China as a result of U.S. sanctions on Chinese and Hong Kong officials that were involved in imposing this national security law there. A push by Wall Street and its European rivals for Chinese riches could be further imperiled should China retaliate. So tell us, what exactly is in the law?
Let's hope I've done my homework. Well, you know, it requires that the State Department to report on and establish these penalties for foreign persons and entities who have materially contributed to undermining Hong Kong's one country, two systems framework. And it does give the president the power to block assets and also to deny entry to the United States to those involved, Dave.
Well, how are the banks actually drawn in?
Well, the law allows for penalties on foreign financial institutions that knowingly do business with sanctioned individuals. But the big U.S. banks are particularly at risk since their foreign subsidiaries may have Chinese officials, their relatives, and associates as customers. Investment banks gets a big chunk of their Chinese revenue from stock sales, financing for companies and their big shareholders. Commercial and retail banks in the United States could be even more exposed because most global transactions are, well, we know, are done in the U.S. dollar, and they flow through the U.S. banking system.
Well, can you tell us what the penalties are?
Well, banks that are singled out, I mean, they could face a slew of sanctions, including a block on assets, restrictions on access to loans from the U.S. institutions. It can be bans on being a primary dealer in U.S. debt. conducting foreign exchange and banking transactions, as well as penalties on executives, among others.
Well, that last one certainly would be a big change from what we've seen since the outrages of the Great Recession. What's at stake here, Melody, for these banks?
Well, you have the five big U.S. banks had a combined $71 billion of exposure to China in 2019. You had J.P. Morgan clocking the biggest investment. I think that's around $20 billion. They now could also face the risk of a tit-for-tat if China chooses to retaliate, and I can't imagine that they wouldn't. And that would cloud their growth plans and threatening income they've generated over the years from advising giants such as Alibaba. Profits in China's brokerage industry could hit $47 billion by 2026. Goldman Sachs estimates, with foreign firms gunning for a considerable share, Dave.
Do you think they're actually worried?
Probably not at this time, but while the U.S. has broad authority to impose penalties under the Act, the initial fallout will be limited, probably to the most senior Chinese officials, since the U.S. is unlikely to take action that's going to significantly disrupt trade or hurt the global economy.
Well, you mentioned tit for tat. I mean, what about Chinese banks?
Well, China's biggest state-owned lenders that are led by Industrial and Commercial Bank of China are the most exposed, given their ties to the government officials. Severing those links would be difficult, and maybe even, if not impossible. Chinese lenders have $1.1 trillion funding at stake, and if they're sanctioned, the president can also ban U.S. investors from holding equity or debt in those lenders.
That sounds pretty draconian. I mean, can companies themselves be sanctioned?
Yes. Sanctions would also apply to entities. Banks will likely be prohibited from doing business with a company that's 50% or more controlled by a sanctioned individual.
Well, what's the timing on all of this?
Well, yesterday, when the president signed it. The State Department has 90 days to submit a report on whether any individuals or companies merit the sanctions. And reports on financial institutions have to be submitted within 60 days after that. The president has the leeway to wait 1 year before imposing sanctions. So,
well, last question then. Do we know, have we heard how China's reacting to this?
Well, they did vow to take strong countermeasures and sanction U.S. officials and entities over the Hong Kong law, but they didn't really elaborate on anything. And, of course, it urged the U.S. to correct its wrongdoings and to quit interfering in Hong Kong affairs. So, I mean, if the president has the leeway to wait 1 year before imposing sanctions, I mean, I'm not quite sure how, even though it sounds, and there could be some significant penalties, but yet there's a big open door.
Yeah, you know? It sounds like that could be a period for behind the scenes negotiations.
Yeah.
Now you stop that. Stop that bad behavior. If you don't.
I mean, they have a year, so yeah.
Interesting.
So we'll see.
Very interesting stuff. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for our inaugural Let's Ask Melody. I turn it back to you, Melody.
Well, thank you. Did I do my homework well enough?
I was impressed.
Let's see. We have a few minutes left of the program. You know, we were talking about students and going back to school and everything. And in fact, we have our Levity is Golden also on Wednesdays. And it looks like your topic today is about going back to school.
Well, yes. Yeah, this is a quick one. College students apparently overwhelmingly plan to return to campus this fall if their schools reopen. And according to a new poll, they claim they'll even sit out the fun if it's available. For many, even an experience that doesn't include the trappings of college life, fraternity parties, dances, what have you, is still a lot better than the alternative of staying at home. More than 3/4 of college students say they'll return to campus if they have the option. 2/3 say they'd attend in-person classes. A striking majority say they're planning to forego the fun on campus, however. Almost 4 out of 5, Melody, say they won't attend parties, and 71% say they won't attend sports events if they happen. Now, I guess avoiding those temptations a lot easier said than done.
I was just going to think of the same thing.
You know, you got peer pressure, boredom, a gradual relaxation of strictness. That could all change the calculus when restless students find themselves in their dorm on a Friday or Saturday night. College students at many particularly smaller colleges in the middle of nowhere already have few options, but going to school may be the best choice available. Traditional gap year options, including travel, are out of the picture. Not sure where we're even going to be welcomed this fall. Waiting out the pandemic means being directionless for the foreseeable future, and certainly delays post-graduation earnings potential. Even getting a job at home means putting off the high earnings of post-grad work. Others who can't live with parents would be dependent on student loans and work-study agreements to get by, and they couldn't even get those without returning to campus. So the bottom line for most students, returning to a much tamer campus with far more restrictions still sounds a lot better to most than not going back at all. Melody, we live in interesting times, and that is this week's Levity is Golden.
Yeah, we do live in interesting times, and I don't know how frightening they are and so forth. It's, I can't imagine. I think the one thing that I took out of that is we're living in a directionless future. I mean, it's you can't make decisions. There's nothing to make decisions on. It's you kind of wait to hear what's going on, and it's bizarre. It's bizarro land. You know,
uncertainty breeds anxiety.
Certainly does. And let's see, how much time do we have left? Oh, we have about 3-4 minutes. We all know that the relief benefits the end of that could be a major hit to the economy, but we also know that they're going to create another stimulus to get past that, at least into the fall. Too big to fail banks set aside billions for loan losses. You know, they can set aside billions because they just made billions off of the fees of the PPP. So, you know, isn't that amazing? Ron Paul says the Fed will cause the next riots. Federal Chair Jerome Powell and San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly both recently denied that the Fed's policies create economic inequality. Ron Paul's weekly column says the Fed is the leading cause of economic inequality. And former congressman says the Fed manipulates the money supply by buying and selling government securities. This means, he said, that when the Fed decides to pump money into the economy, it does so by putting it into the pockets of wealthy and oftentimes politically connected investors who are able to spend the new money before the Fed's actions result in widespread inflation. He continues that wealthy individuals also tend to be among the first to invest in the bubbles that form when the Fed distorts interest rates, which he calls the price of money. In contrast, though, the middle-class Americans lose jobs as well as savings, houses, and other assets when these bubbles burst. That's how that works, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we say every day here. They will also not benefit as much as the rich and well-connected from government bailouts and stimulus schemes. Middle and working class Americans also suffer when a steady erosion of their standard of living because of the Fed's devaluation of the currency.
This melody, he rightly says, is the reason why so many Americans rely on credit cards to cover routine expenses. Thus, the Federal Reserve, in his mind, is the single biggest reason why total U.S. credit card debt is almost $1 trillion. Paul believes that big spending politicians are also beneficiaries of the fiat money system. Low interest rates benefit politicians by keeping the federal government's interest payments low, allows them to run up substantially more debt than they maybe otherwise would. This is an unstated reason why he says the Fed will keep interest rates near zero or even below zero for some time to come. In short, Melody, Paul says a coming crisis will likely be triggered by a collapse in the dollar's value and a rejection of the dollar's world reserve currency status. The economic collapse, he says, will be worse than the Great Depression. And this will result in widespread violence along with government crackdowns on liberties, accelerating the U.S. slide into authoritarianism. Paul concludes that the only way to avoid this dystopian reality is for Congress to make drastic cuts in spending, starting with defunding the military-industrial complex, and then to audit and then end the Federal Reserve.
End the Fed. And this program is ending. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here with Beth Ann from CSC Talk Radio while Butch is away. Thank you, Dave, for joining me. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. I have a plan. If I got me a well-being